May I speak in the name of God, the lover, the beloved, and the love sharer.
Amen.
Oh, that were church discipline so simple as in the days of Matthew. That's just a little aside. I have no intention of going there. We've been journeying through the summer, through the passages in the Old Testament given to us Sunday by Sunday, the latter part of Genesis and the patriarch narratives, and into Exodus and the call of Moses. And with the story of the Passover in Exodus 12, we leapfrog forwards from the life-changing events, the life-changing encounter between Moses and Yahweh before the burning bush in Exodus 3, which takes place beyond the wilderness. Now, as we explored last week, beyond the wilderness is a metaphor for life's status quo, moving beyond the life status quo. We arrive in the place beyond the wilderness. And to reach beyond the wilderness, we need to risk following our curiosity. Curiosity that is triggered by the glimpse of something in the peripheral vision, out of the corner of the eye, so to speak. Now, the encounter between God and Moses beyond the wilderness was a life-changing encounter, both for Moses, obviously, but also for God. But how exactly? For Moses, it was the experience of being called, of finding his identity radically reshaped. But called from what to what? Beyond the wilderness, Moses is called from the uncalled life. His life amidst the familiar routines and expectations shaped by life as business as usual. And by turns, Moses is terrified yet curious. He's stripped and exposed and yet empowered. He's shaken, not stirred, into a new identity, an emerging new sense of self and purpose. But the encounter with Moses is also life-changing for God. Moses is not the only one whose identity is shaken, not stirred. God, I am who I am, the God of memory, the God of the past, becomes God, I will be who I will be. God now defined by future actions that refashion God's identity to become God of liberation, warrior God, who gets their hands bloody in the messy affairs of human history. In today's reading from Exodus 12, we catch a glimpse of just how messy things had become. Between chapters 3 and 12, Exodus chronicles a series of skirmishes in the war between Yahweh and the Pharaoh. Provoked by the Pharaoh's refusal to let the Hebrews go. And in pursuit of this new role as liberator, God has donned the identity of the warrior and enters into the messiness of the fray. You remember that Pharaoh's opening salvo, his command that all the Hebrew male infants be killed at birth, is now found in the echo in Yahweh's ultimate response, that is to strike the firstborn human and animal, in the land of Egypt, as judgment not only against the Pharaoh, but upon all the gods of Egypt. Yahweh asserts his right to do this terrible thing, for he proclaims, "I am the Lord," that is, "I am who I will be." And Yahweh instructs Moses on how the Hebrews are to prepare for the commemoration of the angel of death's passing over the land, shrouded in the darkness of night. This is to be a unique event, an event like none other. Therefore, it is to be remembered as a perpetual anniversary, a commemoration of Yahweh's involvement in the liberation of his people from bondage. Now, as Moses and God were changed in the encounter at the burning bush, now on the night of the angels passing over the land, the Hebrews encounter their God in a life-changing event that will henceforth forge them into a new people. On this night, the Hebrews will be changed from a community of slaves into an Israelite nation, identified and protected by the blood of the sacrificial lamb smeared on the doorposts and lintels of their houses. Down the centuries, the Jewish people have continued to commemorate the night of the angels passing over. Passover, or Pesach, is not only a year commemoration, but also a weekly family meal of remembrance on the eve of Shabbat. At the Shabbat meal, a question is posed, usually by the eldest to the youngest present. Why is this night different from all other nights? And the question triggers the collective memory enshrined in the unique customs of this commemoration, where food is the focus. A meal of unleavened bread, for there was no time for the dough to rise. A meal seasoned with the bitter herbs of adversity, eaten in haste, eaten in a state of readiness for flight. The Passover and the flight from Egypt mark a reset in the measurement of chronological time. God tells the Hebrews it is to be the beginning of months. And it's on the 10th day of the first month that the festival of Passover is to be commemorated. Now, September is the first month of our parish program year. On Homecoming Sunday, by a quirk of the calendar in 2023, Homecoming occurs on the 10th day of the first month. And I wrote about what we can expect from the new program year at St. Martin's in this past week's e-news epistle. To give the briefest overview, we can expect a creative and energized application of the principle less is more. And if you're interested to read what I mean by this, you can revisit last week's e-news. And for those of you who want to come back to read the text of this morning's sermon, there is a link in the text to that. The first covenant between Yahweh and a racial Israel was inaugurated on the night of the Passover and sealed by the blood of the sacrificial lamb. The second covenant between God and a second Israel, that is, an extended Israel extending beyond the blood boundaries of the Israelite nation, has also been sealed by sacrificial blood, this time not the blood of the sacrificial lamb, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And I need to say here that in using the language of first and second covenants and racial and extended Israel, I'm not in any way suggesting that the second covenant has replaced the first. God does not abrogate their promises, nor abandon their faithfulness. Therefore, both covenants remain in force as conduits for God's continued presence with God's people, Jew and Gentile. Neither am I suggesting that the extended Israel has supplanted the Israel of blood and circumcision. Extended Israel, usually referred in the New Testament as the New Israel, is an extension of God's promises to Abraham, which through Christ now encompass potentially the entire human race. And the parallels continue. As with the yearly commemoration of the Passover and its weekly echoes in the eve of Shabbat, the new Israel of the Second Covenant, the Christian people of God, likewise commemorate Jesus with the symbolism of the Passover meal. We read, on the eve of the Passover, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He took the cup, giving thanks and saying. The yearly celebration of Easter therefore coincides in the same lunar cycle as the Exodus Passover. So as with the weekly celebration of Pesach on Shabbat Eve, Christ's Passover, the passage from life to death to new life, is celebrated by Christians on the first day of each week. And on that fearful night, when Yahweh's angel of death passed over the land of Egypt, the identity of a new people was forged through the experience of deliverance at the hand of Yahweh, now the warrior God, sallying forth in defense of a chosen people. The promise made to Abraham becomes renewed as God cherishes once again an exclusive relationship with the human Moses. And the Jews rightly remember this night as the linchpin in their identity as a community, liberated to become instrumental in God's plan for the liberation of the world, a world that is still ensnared in Egypt's bondage. And Egypt represents in any age our entrapment in the uncalled life in which we continue to connive with the forces of oppression, be they political, social, or environmental. And on the night before he died, Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And over the following 3 days, the angel of death passed over him. In his passage from life to death to new life, those who follow in his name were forged into a new community, liberated to become instruments in God's plan for the liberation of the world, still ensnared in Egypt's bondage. And the promise made to Abraham became renewed in the sacrifice of Christ as Passover lamb. The blood of Christ, no longer a sign smeared on our doorposts, is now seared into our hearts. And on the 10th day of the first month of the program year, Homecoming Sunday, we celebrate Christ, our Passover, as the linchpin of our identity as a community liberated to become a willing instrument in God's dream for the liberation of the world. Deliverance is the linchpin in identity. And we can only pray that as Episcopalians, we might take our identity as seriously as our Jewish friends and neighbors across the street from us on the corner of Orchard Place and Orchard Avenue do. That together, Jew and Gentile, we might work tirelessly in the divine dream for the healing of the world. Amen.